GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar.
This is the George Hill Rick Tyler Show. Our friends Karen and Dan Cashman have both dialed in. Somewhere in our wicked childhood, we must have done something good, George Hill, to have the Cashmans back on GHRT.
Yeah, did you say that Dan was on?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not too interested. I want to talk to Karen.
I didn't. Okay, you talk with Karen. Once again, the unpaid intern working for college credit. I'll take a back seat. No, we're kidding. It's great to have both of you back. Karen, let's start with you, and let's ask, remind listeners about Dirigo Reads and how it came to be.
Yep, okay. So, good morning. Thank you for having us on. So, Dirigo Reads. Yes, Dirigo Reads is simply, we're trying to put books in the hands of kids. That's as simple as it is. So the goal of the program is to get a book in the hands of every Maine first grader every month of the school year by 2025. And so we started this program about 2 years ago in 2019, started with 6 pilot sites. And now we've grown to next year we will be providing books to about 50 schools across Maine, which we're very excited about. And this really came as an idea from me and Dan, in that we want all kids, regardless of who they are, you know, their background, all that, to have an opportunity to read, to have books in their hands, and to own them and to really embrace reading.
Hey, Dan, you know we love you.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, well, you know that, kinda. Hey, where do all the books come from?
The books come from, financially the books come from a number of partners that have joined up with Dirigo Reads. Machias Savings Bank is the Dirigo Star founding partner, which means they contribute the most resources to get the most books in the hands of the most kids throughout the state. And there's a number of other partners who have joined up with us over the first couple of years because they also see the value of encouraging stronger literacy skills and encouraging a love for reading. The books physically themselves, the titles, come from a group, an advisory group, that is made up of educators and literacy specialists and administration, school administration. And they help Dirigo Reads whittle down a large list to a list of 10 books that get distributed to all of these kids throughout the year. And they're a nice mix of fiction and nonfiction. So there's some titles you might recognize from growing up, like the Berenstain Bears or Pete the Cat. And then there's some wonderful nonfiction offerings in there that do everything from help kids get exposed to poetry to help kids learn about butterflies.
Karen, that's right. I'm sorry. You wanted to talk to Karen. You wanted me to talk to Dan.
No,
are you sure?
That's all right.
All right. I'm going to pay for this later. Karen, there was a time that when we went to the pediatrician, I know when I took Tiny I or Tiny C there, after a visit to the pediatrician, they gave me a book. That program seemed to sunset, and then Dirigo Reads arrived on the scene. Is there a coincidence, or is it intentional?
I think the program you're talking about is Raising Readers, which is a wonderful program that is still in existence today. So they give books to children age 0 to 5. I don't know if it's so much of a coincidence, but we thought that including books within the first grade year, so when kids turn about age 6, was, yes, a kind of a nice continuation of the Raising Readers program.
So, Dan, every first grader gets a book every month, and then that book, it passes kid to kid. They don't keep the book, right?
No, they keep the book, and that's
they
the
keep
whole
the
point
book
here. Yeah, that's and just in conversations we had leading up to this, that's one of the things that really stuck out, is that kids have a greater opportunity to fall in love with a book if they can keep it. If they can take it to bed with them, if they can write little notes in it, if they can really grow to enjoy the characters or the lessons that they're learning from the book itself. And that's what makes this program one of the things that makes this program unique is that by the end of the school year, the end of the first grade year, even if you're talking about a child whose family is making difficult decisions on everything from fuel to food, and they have no resources to spend on a luxury item like a new book, that child's going to have a library at home of 10 books by the end of the first grade year that they can pick and choose their favorites and read them over and over and over again as much as they want.
Dan and Karen Cashman with Dirigo Reads on the line with us here. We'll give you the website in just a moment. I'm going to flip. Dan, I'm going to start with you on this one. Who had the genius idea of having it the same book? Because then the kids all have something in common. I read this book. You read this. It's like they can form their own little book club.
I don't remember, but I'm going to assume it was Karen. past history would dictate that. The idea not only was that, but also essentially to keep it simple. As we started with six schools, we realized that there are some things that are a little bit easier with a smaller number that will grow to be more difficult as time goes on. And if we're talking about every school in the state that has a first grader in it, and we're talking about every first grader in the state by 2025, if we're going through and picking and choosing different books for different kids in different months, then that would become way too cumbersome for two people who are both working full-time in addition to this. So it had to be somewhat simple, and choosing the same book every month for every kid in each month seemed to make the most sense.
And if I could just interject for a second as well, the great thing about having it be the same book for all of the first grade classrooms in a school and in every school is that these teachers are able to incorporate these books into their curriculum as well. And so, the teachers have told me on how, if it says a book about planets and they're learning about planets, they're able to incorporate that book into what they're already learning and talk about it in the class, which has kind of been a cool experience to hear about.
So, Dan, you took a big jump this year. 24 schools, I'm told, joined the program. That brings the number up to about 50. You do some quick math here. If you put the books in the hands of first graders one every month for the coming school year, we're up to about 1,600 first graders. Is that a number you buy?
Right around there, and that's double where we were in this current or just finished school year. We were just over 800 kids, and we're going to be just over 1,600 kids going into this coming school year. And really exciting within that number includes what are now the two largest cities that are being served by Dirigo Reads, and that's Auburn and Bangor. Auburn represents one of the first communities to come out of Androscoggin County that Dirigo Reads is serving, and Bangor has been on our radar since year one. And I got to tell you, I can't speak for Karen on this, but for me, it gave me a little bit of internal anxiety thinking about, okay, we're working with some smaller schools, but how in the world are we going to incorporate the larger cities and the larger groups of first graders? But we added two this year thanks to some wonderful partners that we have on board, and the future going forward certainly looks bright to be able to add some more larger communities to Dirigo Reads.
Karen, did you have that similar anxiety that this was going to get so big that you wouldn't be able to I mean, you both got jobs, you got two delightful daughters. It's not like you're not sitting around idle.
Right. I think you nailed nailed it right there in that, yes, there's a little anxiety. But I think that over the last 2 years, we've been able to create a program that's really worked, that's easy. And that's really the key of this is that you're right, Rick. We are two full-time parents. We have two totally separate jobs. We needed to make this into a program that could be easy to operate. And so I think over the last 2 years, we've really kind of gotten that momentum going. And although there might be a little anxiety adding, these larger schools, I think we have a recipe for success.
So every child has the opportunity to have a book. This is first grade. If you added any more grades to it, you'd be in trouble. Well, let's go to the second and third grade too. Now, by providing the children the new book every month, are you seeing results?
Well, I think, we're seeing some results in that, for instance, we have teachers that have told us that they have kids that have brought their books. So second graders who have brought their books back to their first grade teacher telling them that they're still reading them. And so we know that there's proof, and these kids are enjoying these books, because what we're trying to do, what the advisor council is trying to do, is trying to find books that these kids are going to love. Now, to really have evidence on the long term, we've only had this program going for 2 years now. So, you know, I think it's still time will tell whether this is moving the needle towards improved literacy across Maine. But for those little moments, yes, you know, we're definitely seeing some evidence that this is really making a difference for kids across Maine.
Let's think about this for a second. Dan, what was the book that you had as a kid when you were in this age range that you took to bed, that you loved, you kept it, stuffed it in your backpack? Still to this day, you remember some of the lines. George, you're on notice. George, think about this. Karen, coming to you as well. What is that book, Dan, as a kid?
As long as you don't quiz me on the lines, I can tell you The Red Balloon was that book.
The Red Balloon. I was waiting for the TV movie on that. What was The Red Balloon about? Don't say a red balloon.
It was. And thankfully, it was not about a creepy clown in a red balloon. It was just a red balloon. And the red balloon belonged to a boy, and then he lost the balloon, and it was about letting go.
That's always fun to listen to the kids.
I don't know that it was fun.
It's always fun when one of our kids loses a balloon. I saw it happen Sunday night.
This is
they get very unhappy when the balloon floats away. Karen, were you talking balloons? Were you reading about balloons or something else?
I was reading about a book that I love till this day that we read to our kids, actually, is A Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. And so that's a book that's near and dear to me. I think that would be my first choice.
George, what was your book that you had?
Well, we didn't have books. We had the chalkboard and stuff. And no, my first book I remember is actually, you're going to be shocked at this, was a baseball book, How to Score the Game.
Really?
Yes. I started early, Rick.
What do you remember about the book?
That how you numbered the players on the field.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. In order to score a game, the pitcher is one, the catcher is two, the first baseman is three, then he goes four, then he jumps shortstop and goes over to third base five, then comes back to shortstop six. I found that amazing. They didn't keep it in order.
Wow.
You can understand my misspent youth now.
Apparently so. Did any of you have the book A Fly Went By?
No.
A Fly Went By?
I don't have that, no.
Karen, no. A Fly Went By.
A Fly Went By?
A Fly Went By. A lot of people think it's Dr. Seuss. It's not. And I had to look up the name to remember it. It was a guy named Michael McClintock. And it told the story about a fly went by that was being chased by a frog, that was chased by a cat, that was chased by a dog. What a terrific story. I still remember it as a kid. See, we all have these books. Think about it just for a second, because, you know, listeners, we're doing the same thing right now. The joy bubbling up inside of us because of that book that we had as a kid, That's the joy that these kids are going to have now and growing older because of Dear Ago Reads.
We sure hope so. That's the goal right there.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.